Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number three of The Handle. Dave Ross, Adam Burke here at Circus Sports Pick in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. People are voting. Some are saying that maybe the underdogs could be the way to go. What we gave you today, America, was a poll question of the best way here in The Handle for a money line parlay to hit. Which two teams would you take at the corresponding numbers? America is going with the chalky play, which is what Adam Burke has gone to. That's not your typical chalk because you're getting good solid plus money at plus 204 if you like the small favorites in UConn and K-State. And Adam, that's where you cast your vote.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I bet UConn, so I had to put UConn in there. And Kansas State, you know, I think Jerry Palm was right when he talked about just the guard play for Kansas State. And the way they move without the basketball really impressed me. And for FAU, they're going to have to be, you know, very, very cognizant of where guys are. And I think they could kind of get lost in the moment a little bit.
Yeah, I took the smallest one on the board, and it's only 13.9% of the people have voted. But I do love both dogs today. I like FAU, I like Gonzaga. I do worry about the gas tank of Gonzaga because you kind of really didn't have to expend a whole lot of energy to dispatch Arkansas in the manner they did. And we saw what happened the last time Gonzaga got in right down to the wire matchup in the Final Four years ago against UCLA. They didn't have a whole lot left for Baylor, if you remember that wipeout, right? So the first 10 minutes of that UConn game, and by the way, it's been bet up a little bit to 2.5 now for the Huskies, is really going to be a tell for me. So, yes, I did play Gonzaga a little bit earlier on the money line here. You get a plus $1.25. I got him at a plus $1.20, so the number's going up. But really, this might be an in-game spot. If they hold in the first 10, I'm going to sit pat with what I have. If not, I might look to get off it if UConn looks like they've got too much horses today for the Bulldogs.
I don't think this is a great matchup for Gonzaga because UConn has the length and the size to match up with Drew Timme.
Yep.
The biggest thing was that Bona didn't play for UCLA and Timme went off. I mean, he had 36 of their 79 points. At one point, I think he had like 30 of their 52, something like that. And then he kind of slowed down a little bit late in the game, you know, and the guards had to make shots. But UConn has the height to really, I don't want to say neutralize Drew Timme because, I mean, he's a top five player in the country.
Right.
But to at least keep him under wraps, I think. And then also they're long enough to get out there on the guards that are going to, spot up and take threes for Gonzaga. I just don't think that physically this is a great matchup for the Bulldogs. And they had a pretty good physical matchup, I think, against UCLA. They barely survived. TCU is a pretty physical team. They barely survived. So, I mean, I guess they, you know, probably should have covered the spread in that game.
Probably.
But I mean, UConn is just, UConn's played three very, very different teams in this tournament. They played Iona, who wants to run, St. Mary's, who wants to clog everything up, and then Arkansas, who under Eric Musselman is, you know, typically one of the best coach teams in the country.
They look like they
and
were
they
not
just
prepared.
Smoked them. Yep. So I think UConn's just playing at a remarkably high level right now.
There is another league, if you will, that's gotten to their Elite Eight as well. And that'd be the world of golf.
Oh,
just golf, people.
Yeah, I thought we were going to the NIT.
We'll get there.
Yeah, with golf.
WGC Dell Match Play, they are down to their Elite Eight, okay? And in the betting market right now, we got a tie for who's going to come out. They're going to be at the Final Four by the end of playing two rounds today. But we've already gotten through the morning session. Scotty Scheff and Rory McIlroy, the betting favorites at plus 360. The third betting favorite out of the eight remaining golfers in the match play, Jason Day. What year is this? He's 4-1 now to win this thing. All the way, we're in the knockout range. Obviously, right now, you lose, you go home. Kirk Kitayama, the longest odds on the board, 12-1 Vegas guy, won, got his first PGA Tour win not too long ago. Would you play one of the shorter favorites on the board if you had to? Or would you look to the longer shots like a Sam Burns, 12-1, or Kirk Kitayama, 12-1?
I mean, Kitayama won 8 of his 13 holes against Andrew Putnam in the round of 16. So, he wound up playing really well earlier today. Cameron Young also did really well. Man. He only lost one hole to Billy Horschel. He won 6 of the 14 holes that they played. I mean, I don't know. For Jason Day, the one thing you always worry about with Jason Day is the health, right? The
His
health of the back.
Go out.
How's he going to do, you know, playing two rounds in a day? Will that be an issue for him? But he is up a hole already on Scottie Scheffler.
Now, Rory McIlroy got through Lucas Herbert to extend his run. Going up against the X-Man, Xander Schauffele. And Schauffele, you can see right now, 6-1 to get it all done. Boy, that feels like a tall task. But Rory's, this is going to be his first real stiff competition here, plus 360 for Rory to get the whole thing done. You wanted to talk NIT. So let's do it right now. It's right here in Vegas, not at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden.
You mean the Orleans is not the world's most famous arena?
Sadly, it's not.
You ever been there?
I haven't. But they just had, who just played there? The WAC?
The WAC, yeah.
Just had their conference tournament
so
there.
The only time I've been there, there's a 3-on-3 ice hockey league called Three Ice that they actually had their championship tournament here last summer, early fall, something like that. It's the only time I've been to New Orleans.
That's it. My buddy Dave Feldman called those finals for the WAC. Of course, who was it? Grand Canyon came out of there. Mm-hmm. They won. Lost in the first round. But still, now we're going to have the NIT semifinals. And Elliot, who's back there right now, so the last Big Ten team to still be playing basketball, Bucky Badger, still alive. And they're a dog to the Mean Green of North Texas. Adam, what am I missing here?
Slight dog here. North Texas is, I mean, from a metric standpoint, North Texas is a really quality team. But I think a couple of interesting things here about this. The first, it's not Madison Square Garden, which is typically what the NIT is, so that's definitely a little bit different. But when you look at these two games, Wisconsin and North Texas, DraftKings Sportsbook, total of 115. Utah Valley and UAB in the other game, total of 152. So you talk about two very, very different basketball games there in the semifinals. This is on Tuesday night, by the way, at the Orleans Arena, which is off strip. It's off of Tropicana or Russell, something like that. But North Texas, 1.5-point favorite here. They play, and the reason why this total is so low, they play at, like, the world's slowest pace for anything. It is a very, 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 very slow style of basketball. But it's kind of tough to prep for, and you also have to be really efficient offensively because you're only getting probably 58, 59 possessions, something like that. For Wisconsin, not efficient this season on offense. 288th in effective field goal percentage offense, 318th in two-point percentage, 163rd in three-point percentage. I kind of like North Texas a little bit in this one because Wisconsin's offense is just, they're not a good shooting team. They don't get offensive rebounds. They don't get to the line. They take a lot of jump shots. They've never played at Orleans Arena. I could go on and on. I like North Texas on Tuesday night, -1.5.
No disrespect to the Orleans at all. But, like, it's Tuesday night. You couldn't play at T-Mobile or play, like, you would just think it's still the NIT, the non-invited sort of the NIT.
And one thing I do want to say real quick is, you know, people kind of dump on the NIT, and understandably so. At this point, you're playing to win. Right?
Okay, I was going to ask you.
There's nothing about motivation. Like, the first round, there's motivation of, oh, man, we got left on the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't want to go play this thing.
Sure.
So there's definitely that in the first round, and even to some degree the second round, if you've got a long travel spot, something like that. Now these teams are playing to win. So
you really
no
think they are motivated
issue.
To be there?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now that being said, I mean, you know, you're getting to go to Vegas where there's certainly distractions, but, you know, at least the fan base, Wisconsin's fan base will show up for that.
They're kids. I don't know if they're old enough to take part in the full Vegas.
Drew Timmy's 40. Some of these guys are old enough to do it.
It's true, and Timmy's here. They're playing that final here today in the NCAA tournament. Utah Valley, I didn't know their nickname.
Wolverines.
Didn't know that. Didn't know there were a lot of Wolverines in Utah. It's going to take on UAB, and the Blazers are laying a small number of 2. Adam Burke, how do you see that one playing out at the Orleans?
It's interesting. Conference USA has done pretty well here in the postseason. I mean, they got 2 teams in the NIT Final Four. They've got, obviously, Florida Atlantic in the Elite Eight. Conference USA doing pretty well here as far as postseasons go. This is a really fascinating handicap to me because you've got Utah Valley, whose head coach Mark Madsen is probably going to get a job somewhere else. Also, his wife just had their 4th kid a couple days ago, and there's been some question as to whether or not he's going to actually coach in the semifinals on Tuesday, so we'll see how that ends up playing out. But as you mentioned, the WAC tournament was at the Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Utah Valley just played the WAC tournament here a few weeks ago. They were up by, I think, 25 in the second half against Southern Utah. They were up by 17 with like 6.5 left. They blew the game and lost. So the last memory for Utah Valley at the Orleans was blowing this enormous lead to get knocked out of the WAC tournament and ultimately not make the NCAA tournament. They did go to the NIT, of course, by winning the regular season in that conference. But they came out like a bat out of hell in this tournament. They blew out New Mexico on the road. They blew out Colorado on the road. Then they beat Cincinnati in a home game where Cincinnati was the higher-seeded team, but their floor at Fifth Third Arena was getting worked on. So Utah Valley got to play that game at home. If they win the 2 games here, they'll have 30 wins for the season, which is kind of a driving point. But UAB, a very experienced team, a lot of seniors led by Jelly Walker. That's a phenomenal matchup. That should be a real exciting game. I like North Texas -1.5 in the first game. Mm-hmm. I don't like anything in this game. I think this is a very, very tight, high-scoring type of game.
Maybe lean to the over at 152?
Big number.
It is a big number.
It's a really big number. The one thing I will say, though, is that both of these teams do a good job of getting to the free throw line. It depends on how this game is called because they're both pretty physical teams, better on defense than offense. But if we get a lot of free throw attempts, I could see this one going over. But I think it's a great game that, you know, people probably won't pay too much attention to, but I will.
I will just say this. And
maybe
I'll
go. I don't know.
You should go. It's the Orleans. We should check it out on Tuesday night. This is from NPR. Take it with a grain of salt if you want. A Wolverine, the largest member of the weasel family and a threatened species in Oregon, has been spotted outside in usual roaming range for the first time in more than 30 years. An actual Wolverine, according to NPR, has been spotted in Oregon. I'm not saying play Utah Valley, but I'm just saying there. People think Wolverines, they don't exist. In Oregon, we got Wolverines.
Weasels.
Does that affect your handicap at all?
No, but weasels sounds pretty accurate given that I'm an Ohio State fan. I hate Michigan. Makes sense.
Jim Harbaugh. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what we're going to see here. Maybe to get to the Final Four, 2 teams will be punching those tickets. That's next here on The Handle.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are entering the final rounds of the tournament. The baseball season is just days away, and the Masters is just around the corner. Now is the perfect time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for a special intro offer of just $19. Get full access to our exclusive betting splits and picks from all your hosts and analysts and guests on VSiN.com. Plus, you're going to get our MLB and Masters betting guides. Just $19 for the first 30 days. So go to VSiN.com for the details on this special offer. Cannot wait to get to Major League Baseball. This man has some great thoughts and opinions on the season. Hopefully you're catching part of the show today. You shared some of your opinions on it. I can't wait for the Masters in a couple weeks as well. But Adam Burke, there's been a lot of consternation in the world of mixed martial arts when it comes to scoring. So it's something I'd like to address and find out if America can handle the truth.
Can you handle the truth? Here's Dave Ross.
The truth of the matter is, when it comes to scoring in the UFC or mixed martial arts or boxing for that matter, it is one of the more subjective things you're ever going to find. And for your betting dollar, I know that's going to be a point of consternation, right? You need to factor in fights that look like they might hit the card so that you don't go, oh my goodness, I just got robbed. Yes. I feel like I've been robbed on some fights that maybe I saw differently from what the judges did. But the problem is, the majority say of this fight card tonight, the numbers are indicating that a lot of these fights will hit the cards. Take, for instance, the main event tonight between Marlon Vera and Corey Sandhagen. The over is juiced at minus $1.60, 4.5 rounds. So more than likely, the betting numbers are showing you it's going to hit the cards. How about the co-main event? Yana Santos against Holly Holm. The over, 2.5 rounds, minus 290. Okay. Andrea Lee, Macy Barber, over 2.5, minus 265. What I'm trying to get at here is three of the four fights here are heavily favored to hit the scorecards. Then what do you have to do? Take into account where the fights are happening. I mentioned this last week, right, when you had the big fight card in England. And I thought, well, can you really get a fair shake if you got British fighters, European fighters on those fight cards? Sometimes the judges get influenced by the pops of the crowd. I know we'd love them to be in a silo, to be in a phone booth, to not hear the crowd. That's not realistic. Human element is on display when you have judging in the UFC. These fight cards today, they're in San Antonio, Texas. Andrea Lee, She's from the great state of Texas. If it hits the cards, which again, minus 265, over 2.5 against Macy Barber, all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness, I got to hold my breath if I laid that price tag with Macy Barber. That's my point. You might not want to be in the habit of laying big favorites that are not locals in fight cards that were the dog at over a $2 betting underdog here for Andrea Lee. If it goes to the cards, sometimes it's human element. They're going to pop for their fighter in their hometown, and judges get influenced that way. Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, the fight was in England. Did Leon Rocky Edwards win? Probably not by the margin that I saw on the scorecards, 49-46. I saw some of those, and he had a point deduction and still won easily on the majority of the judges' scorecards. Did that happen just because he was a hometown fighter fighting in his hometown, in his home country of England? No, but it does influence. Human element is on display. So, Adam, all I want people to say is, look, I feel like it. I've been on the wrong side of some of these decisions. And you go, it's not rigged, is the point. Judges are human. And I think oftentimes people do not take into account the venue, where the fight's happening, which fighters are more of the local variety. And if it hits the cards, sometimes they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with anything that you said, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, you do have those inherent biases when it comes to judging, and those are things that you need to factor into the equation. And I guess the follow-up point would be, you know, again, you mentioned some of the odds on these fights to go, you know, over the totals and all of that. So what do you do in that situation? I mean, are you, like, parlaying some of these overs together, trying to cut down on some of the juice? Are you just going ahead and laying it?
I'm not going to lay big-time favorites when they are not the hometown fighter in a fight that I think is going to go to the cards. That's just not going to happen. We saw this tweet last week. We wanted to show this to you. This was in the fight card, of course, over in England. And Ronnie Bogle at Ronnie Dale 2 said, lol, I lost both of these fights. This is the end of the fight odds. The fight's over before we get the official decision. And sometimes one fight that I know that I was on last week with our director, Jeremy Wingle, Roman Dolice, he closed against Marvin Vettori at minus $6, and he lost a unanimous decision. So again, sometimes the fights that we see, the judges just don't see it that way. I don't think this is necessarily, again, I am not a believer that somehow this is rigged or fixed. I never want to go down that road, or else I'd never bet, because I just think, well, you got to figure out which side of the rigging is on, right, in order to be on the right side. I don't think that's in play at all. I think the judges are influenced, and that is the problem here sometimes with the pops of the crowd. They are real, and certainly you see this in Brazil a lot of times. And Dana White and the UFC, they do this by design. They're going to have a Brazilian fighter almost on every fight of the card against American fighters, European fighters, what have you. If they hit the cards, hold your breath if you backed the non-Brazilian fighter. So I'm going to handicap it this way. If I'm going up against a hometown fighter, whatever hometown that might be in, I want to think that the fighter I'm backing has got finishing potential, that it doesn't go to cards. I want to take the element of, oh my goodness, I'm going to get jobbed here, out of the equation. So if my advice just would be, if you're betting MMA or boxing, think about that before you make those. Does this fight have the potential, the more realistic potential to hit the cards? And if it does, I might be getting a benefit of the doubt if I'm on the local fighter. It just seems to work out. Or the popular fighter. This happens all the time. Say, the Sugar Show. Okay, Sean O'Malley. A lot of people did not think that he beat Peter Yan. But because right now, Sean O'Malley, I backed him that day by decision and won that fight. Was I on the right side? I was with my bank account. Did he really win the fight? I don't think so. I thought Peter Yan won the fight. But again, that's the point. You're going to be on some sides where you go, wow, I got the benefit of the doubt. Others, like the Roman Dolice won last week, you go, man, I really thought Dolice won the fight. Jeremy, our director, who watched every second of it, thought that Roman Dolice had won that fight as well. The judges just didn't see it the same way. You're probably going to, you'd hope they even out over time, right? Doesn't feel like it in the time when you get the bad decision. But again, just remember that before you make these wagers. Do the due diligence of where is the fight? Is the fighter that I'm backing going to get the benefit of the doubt potentially if it hits the cards?
Well, and, you know, our guest earlier, Brian Petrie, talked about this from the MMA Takes podcast of, it seems like the judges are rewarding damage. But it seems like there's also no standard across the board of what they're looking for, what it is that they're rewarding. You know, if there's a fight that's on the ground, right, maybe there's not a ton of damage.
Right,
just maybe
control.
It's just kind of a battle for top control. How are the judges going to interpret that? So I guess the question is, and obviously you watch a lot of UFC, which I think helps, so you can at least see what the standard is that they're trying to judge from. Are you picking up on them rewarding damage? Is it the way the fighter looks? Mm-hmm. Is it activity? Is it volume? You know, are you able to kind of disseminate what it is that they're looking for, and does it just vary from fight to fight?
It does seem to vary from fight to fight, because Dolice, it looked like, did the majority of the damage against Marvin Vettori, but did not get that decision to go his way. But then conversely, Justin Gaethje in the co-main event, he was dynamic, and you saw it on the face, right? So all of a sudden, you look at it, you go, well, Justin, if I was in a fight with that guy, and you look at the faces afterward, you go, yeah, Justin Gaethje won that fight, and he got the decision thusly. I would say this about the main event tonight with Chito Vera against Corey Sandhagen. You know, if you remember Gladiator, win the crowd, win your freedom, right? Sometimes that has an MMA feel to it. And Chito Vera might lose rounds. And Brian talked about that in the first hour. But he seems to inflict more damage, visible damage. And sometimes Corey Sandhagen does wear that damage, right? And that could play a part if it hits the cards. That's the whole point of this conversation. So you might go, well, I think Corey has been, he's outpointed him, he's won more rounds. But at the end of the day, after five rounds, does Chito Vera look like the guy that inflicted more damage on the other guy, even though he might not have won by points? That has the very real possibility of rearing its ugly head today in San Antonio. Just take that into account. Damage is what they're supposed to score on. So it's like the old adage of two people going to fight, who looks the worst for wear once the time is stopped? That's supposed to be who wins the fight in the judges' scorecards. So I think there's a real possibility of that happening today. Haven't played the fight yet. A lot of varying opinions. The money's been coming in on Marlon Vera against Corey Sandhagen, who's the small favorite right now. But I think you should factor that in before you make that final wager before that main event tonight. Thank you, America, for allowing me to vent. Don't always blame the judges. Take that into account before you place those wagers. All right, let's talk some more March Madness when we get back here again. After today, we'll be down to six. Then after tomorrow, we're down to the Final Four. We'll take a look at the two games going today. One of them right here in Las Vegas should be a really good one between UConn and Gonzaga. Come on back. It's The Handle here on VSiN.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This segment of The Handle is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, the surprisingly simple way to enjoy nicotine. Most nicotine products are either too complicated to use or don't provide the satisfaction that you're looking for. But Zyn Nicotine Pouches might surprise you. Zyn is made with six simple ingredients and is completely tobacco leaf free. Plus, it offers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. So buy Zyn online, find a store near you at Zyn.com, that's Zyn.com, and buy it today. This product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When you talk college basketball with Jeff Goodman, that's addictive as well. Jeff Goodman in the house with Adam Burke and myself here at Circus Sportsbook. Jeff, great to have you in. We go back to our Chicago days, obviously, at Stadium. Does great work there, and also the Field of 68 podcast.
I miss you, man. I miss you.
I know. I miss your scent.
Yeah.
I miss your smell.
All of it.
You were, before we get into college basketball, you were hanging out with Derek last night. Derek Stevens, the owner right here at Circus Sportsbook. Did you guys go deep into the morning? How did that work out?
No, we eventually left. We came down, we gambled a little bit here, then we... But man, that dude is elite. Elite of
he
all...
Is.
Like, one of the greatest dudes I have ever met. And this place that he built...
Yes.
Oh my God.
Did you check out the games at Circuit Swim?
Yeah, so last year I was here for literally a cup of coffee because I came here before Mountain West and Pac-12 tournament title games.
Mm-hmm.
Sat down. I was in my jeans and everything outside because I was going to games right away. And Will Wade got fired at LSU like 20 minutes after I sat down. So I couldn't really enjoy it. Now I can enjoy it. Yesterday, we did our Field of 68 shows. Watching the games here last night was incredible.
I enjoyed it more than Will Wade did.
Yeah, no doubt. The setup here is just the best. It's the best.
I say it all the time now because, again, I've been in Vegas now for about a year and a half. Yeah. There's no other experience like it for Circus Swim, especially if you're going to watch a big-time college basketball. Yeah. Jeff, like you are today, obviously out here in the desert, the big one here, I mean, that UCLA-Gonzaga game, they should just schedule them every year. It's amazing every time.
Yeah.
How do the Zags now turn the page 48 hours later and get ready for right now? The betting favorite is UConn to cut down the nets.
This is a brutal matchup for Gonzaga to me. I just look at it and I say, Gonzaga against UCLA was a great matchup for Gonzaga, right? UCLA had no bigs. Mm. No bigs. You knew Bono, even if he played, he wasn't going to be 100%. Then when you saw him walk out in sweats, I was like, all right, this is. Now, again, UCLA jumped on him. They did a great job, but I think Mick made a mistake trying to run early.
Yeah.
When you don't have a lot of dudes, you kind of know. And then when we saw at the end of the game, Tiger Campbell was like huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
So here's the deal is Drew Timmy, obviously, has got to get his 25 or 30. Well, he's never gone up, and I talked to him about this after the game, against a duo like Adama Sanogo and Donovan Clingan. These dudes, they're so different. The looks that they can throw at you both offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Clingan is a man.
He is.
He's a beast. So Timmy's going to have a lot of trouble. The only advantage he has is, you know, Timmy's like, you know, 40 years old. Klingon's a true freshman. So he might be able to get him in foul trouble. But again, you got two of these dudes. They got 10 fouls to give. And at every other position, UConn is better.
I can't add anything. I tend to agree with that. But one thing I think is interesting is, going into the Sweet 16, the under was 35-17. And we had talked a lot about, you know, the basketball and shooting. I know Mark Few had talked about that. You had reported on that. This total is 153, 154 in that range. A lot of points, possibly, in this game tonight. What do you think about that?
Before the game, so Dave will love this, I grabbed one of the balls and before the Arkansas-UConn game. And I asked Trevin Brazil, who's going to be a lottery pick after next year. He's the kid who got hurt for Arkansas at the beginning of the year. So I gave him my phone. I said, take a quick video. I'm going to bounce the balls because I keep calling it Inflategate.
Yeah.
Right? These things are like Super Bowls.
It's just bouncing up.
Pretty, I mean, too much air. Mm. Way too much air. Everybody talks about that. It's not just the ball. It's the fact that they got dudes like us, you know, doing the air and the ball instead of having like managers, people who know what they're doing. So I tend to agree with you. I would go under in this one. I just think, again, I know UConn likes to get out and run. I think Gonzaga eventually understands, like, we got to slow down the tempo. We cannot run with this team.
Yeah, I don't – the look of the ball is terrible. And now to hear that they're high bouncing, maybe that's why scoring's been down. But it's kind of reverted a little bit the last couple of days. We've been getting some higher totals there.
Very quickly, 6-2 in the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
the
right.
Over.
So maybe they came down.
But also, it feels like the tempo has picked up a little bit. There's
it's
more
not the
energy
shooting
on the
as
field.
Much as it's a tempo.
And this is something Adam and I talked about earlier. My fear as a Gonzaga backer here at 15-1 to cut down the nets is that it is kind of like at the Final Four, that great, 93-90 game over UCLA. Yeah. And then they had nothing in the first 10 minutes against Baylor and they get run out of the gym.
Right.
Could that happen in the first 10 against UConn?
It could. I mean, listen, I'm looking at the spread and it opened at 1.5, it's up to 2.5. I think UConn has the potential to really take it to them. Honestly, like, I think this could get ugly. Against every team. I mean, UConn's made it ugly against everybody so far. Now, again, Gonzaga's got Drew Timmy. So I tend – but it looked ugly for a while there. And, again, UCLA just kind of ran out of gas. And Gonzaga was so bad defensively in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't guarding anybody.
Right.
And
whatever they wanted.
Hickman didn't play well. And to me, he's got to play really well for them to have any chance.
So the early game at Madison Square Garden, FAU and Kansas State. Kansas State, 1.5 or 2-point favorite, depending on where you look. Total 144 for this one. Probably didn't expect these two teams to be here, but they're two extremely well-coached teams.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. Think about it. K-State, the only reason they're here is because nobody else could really take Keontae Johnson because of his heart issues, right? So Jerome Tang had been an assistant at Baylor when they had multiple guys. King McClure got cleared and played, and then Jared Butler got cleared and played with a heart issue. So that was part of the reason that again, he was able to get it done as a first-year coach at Kansas State. He's been unbelievable. And Marquise Noel, like, what can you say about the kid? What can you say?
Little
like,
guy.
Unbelievable.
Calipari, little guys.
Yes, little guy, Don't call him a little guy. You're going to have to call and apologize to him later. But I saw FAU earlier this year. I was down there in Boca. And Dusty does an incredible job. I mean, unbelievable. It's I did something 4 years ago at Stadium where I ranked every job in every league, and I polled all the coaches in the leagues. FAU ranks 13th of 14 jobs in Conference USA.
Woo.
I mean, it's great. The beach is there in Boca, but their facilities, their resources, their budget, all that is absolute garbage.
Wow.
So he's done a great job. He's got a lot of good guards. My biggest question is, number one, obviously, can you handle Noel? Number two, they don't really have an answer to Keontae Johnson. They don't have a big, strong, athletic wing. So I think it's a tough matchup for them, too. I'm actually surprised the number's so low here. Two?
Only two?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, I am, too. And, again, it's like K-State's a 3-seed. I think people just maybe didn't watch enough of them in the Big 12. This is a legit team that they have this year. Very quickly, in tomorrow's games, you know I love Coach L.
Yeah.
Covered him at George Mason back in the Final Four in the Indianapolis days. Trying to do it again, take another team to the Final Four. What do you make of Miami against Texas? Right now they're getting four.
I saw them play Indiana last week in Albany in person. I was like, whoa. In person, their speed, their athleticism, and Larrañaga.
He's awesome.
And what he does with his players at his age to connect with them, to get them to play loose. I talked to those guys afterwards, and I was like, and even Jim, I went up to him, I'm like, man, like what you do, it's amazing. Watch him in timeouts. He's joking around with these dudes. Even with the pressure on the line, all this, but they don't have as much pressure, obviously, as Texas does. I think they match up well. And again, they just got a lot of guys who can make plays off the bounce. So I would take the points. I might even take the money line again in this one.
Plus $1.55 right now for Miami.
The other Elite Eight matchup that we know, Creighton and San Diego State. 2-point favorite for Creighton, this one down in Louisville. Any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I love Creighton. Love them. I had them preseason top five. And again, they went through a really bad stretch when Kalkbrenner was out, but he's the most important player to their team. He's one of the most important players in the country because of what he can do on both ends of the court. So I really like Creighton in this one.
Very quickly, you got about 2 minutes to go here with the great Jeff Goodman. What happened to Syracuse? That's the really reason why I wanted to have you on here.
You've got a pipeline to my guy,
Jim Boeheim. He got forced out, did he not?
Yeah, he just didn't really want to go out this way at this time. And it's so hard.
Flowers.
So hard. Yeah, I know.
Coach
that's
K
the
got
hardest
a whole year
part.
Of flowers.
I know. And Boeheim, I think, would have enjoyed that. I do.
Yeah, it would have been
right?
nice.
It would have been fun because, again, I'm going to miss Boeheim. I sent him a long text after that day, and I said, like, I'm going to miss you, man. Like, we got into it over the years at times.
Yeah, I know you did.
And we really – remember, I was one of the two journalists he told to go get our Pulitzers elsewhere. And the next day, he called me and apologized. And there's so many stories with him and over the years. You're going to miss him. The question is, again, can Red Autry get this program back? I think it was the right time for the program. I do believe that.
Because, Jeff, there's no blue bloods here, right, when we get to the Elite Eight and the Final Four. So, like, is this better for college basketball or worse?
It's better for the diehards. It's worse for the casuals, right? But what I will say is because of the COVID year, the extra COVID year, because of the transfer portal, because of NIL, because of the Inflategate, I think that's why we've got – that's why we are where we are right now with all the big boys being
watching. You guys see how I slid Syracuse in as a blue blood?
Yes.
See how I did
yes.
that?
They are for now. For now.
I miss our conversations.
Me too. Me too. I love you. You know that.
Enjoy the game.
Yeah, no, I will. I will. And hopefully I'll be back. Listen, I will be back here. Trust me. To see you, to see Derek, to see Adam. This is one hell of a spot.
There he is, everybody, the one and only Jeff Goodman. Enjoy what should be a hell of a game between UCLA and, Gonzaga is in that game. They beat UCLA. Back in a second with Handle.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetRivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. You can win up to $10K in bonus money instantly by playing our exclusive BetRivers squares this basketball season. Place a qualifying bet. You're going to get a square in the house. If the numbers in the square match the final score of the game, you're going to win. Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonuses, and credit use. Full terms and conditions are available at BetRiversSquares.com. Wrapping up this edition of The Handle, Dave Ross and Adam Burke. Adam, it's been great having you in here for the last almost 3 hours now. Great having Jeff Goodman in the last segment, talking all things college basketball with Jeff. It does lead us to our pro tip of the day, something you and I talked about a lot in hour number one, that you believe there's only one player, if Gonzaga, let's say, cuts down the nets, that's going to be the mop, the most outstanding player. And that would be, say, Drew Timmy at plus 550. Right now, Gonzaga is 5-1 to win the whole thing. So you're going to get better value by doing that little equation there of taking Timmy to be the most outstanding player versus Gonzaga. So that's the way you can kind of manipulate the market a little bit. But the cautionary tale is, you don't think that's exclusive for all the teams where you go, let me get their best player at a better number than the team price, because there are situations you think that could occur where there could be multiple guys on a certain team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, when you kind of look at the odds board, maybe Texas is another one where, you know, right now Marcus Carr is so far ahead of everybody else on that board that if Texas is going to win it all, then, you know, you can take plus 360 or you can take Marcus Carr at plus 550.
Right.
You know, maybe Texas is a team where there's not a whole lot of question. I could argue Creighton is a team too. I mean, I know that Shireman's up there, but Kalkbrenner's got to be the best player if they're going to be the team that wins it all. So I think Gonzaga is an example. Creighton is an example. Texas is probably an example. I don't know that it's cut and dry with Kansas State, because even though Marquise Noel has been as good as he's been, Keontae Johnson's been really good, and he has that story of coming back from the heart issue with what happened with him at Florida. So, you know, if you're a voter, you can look at it and you can say, well, Noel's been great, but I mean, this kid, you know, I mean, should he even be out there? You know, so that's kind of the hard part with them. But I do think when you look at Texas, Gonzaga, Creighton, you get better odds on taking the best player to win most outstanding player than you do with their futures price.
You know, Sonogo's up there as the top dog to be the mop at 4-1. Again, correlated because UConn is now the favorites to win. But at plus 360 for UConn versus $4, I don't know that I'm getting the full value of taking, you know, the 4-1 shot there. So maybe that's why I let that one pass. But I thought you nailed it with Marcus Carr. Much better value there with Texas. And again, Drew Timmy at plus 550, I think would be a smarter play. Even though Strother had the big shot to beat UCLA, I don't really see another scenario where it's anybody else besides Carr or Timmy. And those are two of the three shortest favorites on the board to win the whole thing.
To me, it's kind of like I said earlier in the show, it's kind of like looking at the Super Bowl MVP market, right? Like when you look at a Chiefs game, Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP if they win the Super Bowl. When you looked at the Eagles, you thought, okay, there are other guys that, you know, maybe they run the ball really effectively, or maybe some wide receiver has a big game, or
Hassan Reddick was taking tickets.
Right. They had 70 sacks. Like maybe somebody gets to Mahomes, has a game-changing strip six, something like that. There were other avenues where you could go, well, maybe it's not Jalen Hurts. You didn't have that with the Chiefs because it was Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes. The guy throwing the ball to Travis Kelce is Patrick Mahomes. So to me, I think it's kind of a similar thing when you look at the most outstanding player. Some teams have a Patrick Mahomes. Some teams have a supporting cast where other guys help out.
Yeah, again, I think that's a really smart avenue of approach. Again, that's the pro tip for today here on The Handle. You're going to have access to all the pro tips every day across every VSiN show. Just be a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can sort those out by show and or by sport. Okay, America, we asked you to vote. You did. You're going with the chalk. We said you can take any parlay you want to try to get the best value. You're going to go with the short favorites. That's K-State and UConn. So all the votes are in. So plus 204 for the short favorites to win. That's almost 40% of the vote. Adam Burke, normally America isn't right. Does this now concern you that America is playing the chalk?
No. Nope. I like UConn. Jeff talked about how UConn's just a really good match. I mean, they have so much length. And Timmy has to be, I think Drew Timmy has to be the best player on the floor by a decent margin in this game for Gonzaga to win it. I don't think that's going to be the case. And for Kansas State, I mean, their pick and roll is just, it's so good. Michigan State never adjusted. Maybe Florida Atlantic will, but the way that Noel can distribute the basketball, I think Kansas State definitely gets theirs. And I'm not so sure FAU does when they have to make threes against a top 15 3-point defense.
And I will say this, some of the plays I already have, I didn't even get the best of the number. I did take FAU, and I voted here for the Live Dogs. I took the plus 361, 13.7% of the voting there. Because I do think both dogs are in play. And I did take smaller numbers. Now they've actually gone up a little bit. So you can get right now Gonzaga on the money line is plus $1.25. I didn't even get the best of that number. And FAU is up to plus $1.15 in some spots there. So I hear what everybody's saying about both these games. And I actually agree. I think UConn, if they don't put away Gonzaga in the first 10 minutes, like Baylor did 2 years ago in the national title game, and this thing's tight down the stretch, I'm going to back Drew Timmy in that situation to get it done. But I think you guys are spot on. Watch that first 10 minutes of the game. If UConn's out to a double-digit lead or, you know, 7-8.9 lead, they might be too much for Gonzaga to handle. I'm really looking at the first 10 to see if Gonzaga can hang in there early.
I will say this. UConn behind us here at Circa and at a few other places in the market up to minus 3 now. So we finally kind of broken through that 2.5 and gone up to 3 on that game.
And I tweeted out yesterday, once we knew what the matchups were, or the night before rather, that if you like Gonzaga weight, that maybe you could get to 4. I don't think it's going to get there, but it has gone up a full point now to 3. But if you got 3.5, that'd be interesting. In the Florida Atlantic game against K-State, it's up to 2 now. This was down to 1.5. Now it's back up to 2. It does feel like, at least the experts we've talked to today on the show, feel like K-State, because they've got 2 stars, might be a little bit too much for FAU to handle.
FAU, I mean, look, you know, it is kind of a balanced approach. John L. Davis is the guy who has the shortest odds to win most outstanding player. But, I mean, this is a team that they have to shoot a lot of threes, and they have to be successful to do it. And Madison Square Garden is historically a pretty tough shooting backdrop. Now, that wasn't necessarily the case in the Kansas State Michigan State game. But, you know, FAU and Tennessee stayed under a low total of 129.5. So for FAU, we'll see what they're able to do here. But I mean, Kansas State is a very popular bet. You can still find 1.5s out there at a lot of places for that game, though.
Adam, I know one of the plays you have is UConn laying the 2.5. You already got the best of that number because it's up to 3, as you mentioned. Another play you have is the world of hockey, something we talked about a little bit at the top of the show. Tell the people what you're playing today.
So the Blue Jackets are, look, there's a lot of incentive, and unfortunately they haven't gotten the memo the last two games. There's a lot of incentive for the Blue Jackets to be as bad as possible the rest of the way. Ooh. So they can get Connor Bedard, or at least have the best odds in the draft lottery to get Connor Bedard, who looks like an absolute game-changing player, will be the number one pick in the upcoming NHL draft. But the Blue Jackets are playing basically track meet games. Their last four games, they beat the Islanders 5-4, beat the Capitals 7-6, lost to Vegas 7-2, lost to the Ducks 7-4 in a game that was 4-4 after two periods. Over the last 10 games, the Blue Jackets have given up 39 goals at 5-on-5. So they're averaging basically 4 goals per game allowed at 5-on-5, which is the most voluminous game state for an NHL game. Montreal has given up 33, so they're not playing well at 5-on-5 either. Blue Jackets have 11 power play goals, I think, in their last 11 games. I like over 6.5. I like Montreal over 3.5 goals. This is just a Columbus team that they're kind of doing, like, they're trying to tank a little bit, but also individual players are trying to pad their stats. They were down to 4 defensemen in last night's game, too, because of injuries. So I think over 6.5 and Montreal over 3.5 are 2 plays on the ice tonight.
I'll be tailing those plays. Adam, I have to ask you something for my own personal edification here and for the betting market out there. The New York Metropolitan's win total was around 95.5. Then Sugar Diaz goes out in celebration during the World Baseball Classic. That total has come down to 91.5. That is quite the decrease. Is it now playable for Met backers? Are they still a 92 or better team?
I mean, look, Edwin Diaz is
give me hope.
Edwin Diaz is a big deal, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I mean, the guy was going to pitch in 60 of the 162 games. And yeah, you know, he's important as a closer. He's one of the best relievers in baseball. But this is still a pretty damn good baseball team with a lot of talent. They like to spend money. They'll go out and do whatever they have to do at the trade deadline. Still love the rotation. You know, I think Kodai Senga is maybe a guy you want to look at, possibly for Rookie of the Year, maybe even for Cy Young. I think he's potentially that good.
Wow.
Good lineup. I mean, I still think the Braves are pretty clearly the team to beat in that division, but the Mets really aren't that far behind. This is an over-adjustment for sure.
I have that last part stricken from the record, Stephanie, that the Braves are the team to beat in the NL East. But yeah, now it feels playable for me at 92, because I was saying to Jeff Parles, of course, another resident Met fan on the network, like, I can't trust him at 95.5. Diaz goes out for the year, and it comes down 4 wins.
Yeah, that's too much.
That is a dramatic change. Okay, that's going to put a bow on this edition of The Handle. Adam, real pleasure having you in.
It was fun.
Appreciate
it was
you.
Quick, too.
For the last 3 years. It did fly by. Enjoy March Madness, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow right back here on The Handle on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.